From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Well, good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. What's going on? This is the Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN. And, yep, I'm your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports, where we do this show every Saturday from 10 to 12, talking about all the local high school stuff going on in the Central Valley, Central Section as well. Remember, the Central Section expands out to the coast. Right, we got some of those mountain schools as well. So not just the Central Valley, but the Central Section as well. And, yeah, a lot of Central Section talk today. Got a really special guest that I'm going to announce in just a couple minutes here. But thank you guys for listening. Appreciate everybody out there. It's always fun. I got to be honest. When I'm, at a game, I go to a lot of basketball games. This last 3 weeks, I've gone to 3 basketball games a week. Thanks to my family for allowing that. But it's always fun to talk to like-minded people, people that love high school sports. Just yesterday, walking out of the Clovis West and Clovis High girls game, which we're going to get to in just a second. History is on the verge after that game. Just walking out of the gym, and a parent of a former player was just kind of walking alongside him. He said, "Hey, thanks for tweeting out scores and really shining a light on the kids in the Central Section." His daughter was on Clovis High basketball team, and he's like, it was just very valuable information. So I appreciated that, right? Run into a lot of people like that. It makes a lot of things worthwhile. So don't feel shy. Just look for that bald guy with glasses at a game, and yeah, I'm approachable. You could come say hi. I appreciate it very much. But a lot of stuff to talk about today. Tons of stuff. This is it's kind of the crunch time for basketball. Playoff seedings, guys, are going to be announced on the 11th, next week, right in the middle of the week, Wednesday. Kind of weird, right? Right in the middle of the week. I know SoCal is actually doing their bracketology stuff today. So they're announcing all their basketball seedings and divisions and whatnot. You know, they have the open division. So they're doing that today. But we're waiting until Wednesday. Playoffs are going to be starting on Friday. Celland Arena is at the end of the month. My favorite event in the school year is definitely Celland Arena, and we are headed in that direction. If you guys miss any part of the show or other shows behind the bench, in fact, Phil Bonatti was actually at Radio Row in the Moscone Center in San Francisco getting ready for the Super Bowl. Actually, I'm not supposed to say that, right? I'm supposed to say the big game. Yeah, they were on Radio Row. Saw a lot of big wigs there. Had some great interviews. Joe Gomez was there as well from 1430 ESPN. I met them last night to pick up the equipment for today's show at 11:02 last night. They were just driving in from San Francisco and dropping off the equipment. I was sitting in the parking lot waiting for those guys. And let's just say they came out of the car, Phil's car that they took. They were exhausted. They were absolutely beat up. He said it was a great evening or a great trip, but very exhausted from it. So a lot of things building up to this big game this weekend. I found some fun props if you guys are interested in this stuff, right? All the quirky props that you can, throw a little wager on. One of them from the big game on Sunday is the final score to be a scoregami. Now, probably a lot of people out there listening, like, what the heck is Metters talking about, the scoregami? Scoregami is an NFL score, I guess it could be any score, that has not yet happened in the history of the NFL. So just go to NFLScoregami.com, and there's this really cool chart charting all the scores that have happened in the history of the NFL and that have not happened. So for there to be a scoregami in the Super Bowl, it is... for it to happen is plus a 2,800. So you can actually wager on that. So, for example, there has never been a score in the NFL of 18-5. Five is a weird number, right? Field goal and a safety. But never a score of 18-5. It's never been a score of 12 to 11. Let me move over here with this cursor. Let me find. There's never been a 46 to 15, right? Random. But that has never happened in the NFL. So you could bet on that. You could bet on whether or not there's going to be a two-point conversion attempt. It's plus 130. You can also bet on who's going to be on special appearance during the halftime show. Jennifer Lopez is minus 125. Shakira is plus 340. Gatorade bath color, red, it's plus 1,100. But, hey, fun stuff. You know, a lot of parties are going to be happening and have some friendly wagers. The squares are a big thing as well. So, yeah, fun times happening on Sunday. Seahawks, Pats, who do you guys got? I mean, 4.5-point spread. A lot of people heavy on the Seahawks. I don't know. I'll be honest. It's going to be a game. It's going to be a game. I'm saying New England's going to cover in that one. So enough of that big game talk. Well, I think some of our guests, we're going to have a word with them about their predictions and what they like to eat and how they celebrate that. But I got to get to our sponsors. Obviously, First String Sports, where I do my show. I do a show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. Never fails, right? We got Letterman's jackets being configured right now. People coming in, sizing them up, seeing what they want stitched on the jacket. Get the patches put on as well. So First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. I also want to welcome in a new sponsor, Fresno and Clovis Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Couple locations for you guys. Fresno locations on Blackstone, 6162 to be exact. And the Clovis one's on Herndon, 395 Herndon Avenue, Clovis, California. But, yeah, big-time sponsors, really thankful to them. The Finnegan family is very, very good people. Done a lot in the community. Lots of athletes from that family as well. So want to thank them and welcome them to help sponsor the Central Valley Sports Report. Also want to thank the foundation at Fresno County Office of Education, Raw Farms as well, Bees Air Plumbing and Heating. And our 1430 Student Athlete of the Week is a really cool deal that we've been doing since August. Phil Benanti does a great job with that. All right. One more announcement before I get to who's coming on the show today. Got a big guest lined up for February 21st. Speaking of football, this guy is one of the gems of the Central Valley. And I think his story resonates with a lot of people. Adrian Martinez is going to be coming on February 21st. Not sure of the time yet. To get closer to the date, we'll lock that in. Clovis West quarterback, high-level recruit, set a bunch of freshman records at University of Nebraska, plays last season at Kansas State. And if you're an NFL guy, or because I mentioned this on the show too, if you listen to this show over the last couple months, you know his journey has been incredible. And he was picked up by the San Francisco 49ers this year, was on their active roster, I believe, for four games this year when Mac Jones was the starting quarterback, when Brock Purdy was hurt. Adrian was actually elevated to the number two quarterback. I thought he was going to be able to get in for a couple series, man, because Mac Jones got beat up a couple times. Now, Adrian did go in for a final kneel down in one of their victories. I think it was the Minnesota Vikings win, where Mac Jones called him out. Adrian got to see the field, got to take a knee for the final play. So Adrian's coming on, talk about his journey, what was it like this year, the ins and outs of being on the practice squad and then being elevated, being ready to go into the game at any moment. So always great to hear from Adrian. He's come on the show over the last 3 years. And he's just one of the good guys, one of those guys you definitely root for. All right, so on the show today, got some games to recap in just a second. I'll be talking about the three games that I went to this week. We got Trevor Horn coming on after the break, probably 10:35-ish, maybe 10, closer to 10:30. We're going to be breaking down the basketball playoffs the best we can right now. Again, there's one more game for a lot of schools, a lot of Tuesday games. Some schools have finished their regular season. Brackets are coming out, like I said, on Wednesday. Playoffs are going to be starting on Friday. And Trevor and I are going to do our best. We both have spreadsheets. His is a little bit different than mine. Again, Max Preps is the website that the CIF uses. There's tiebreakers. There's all kinds of factors. I mean, how many teams are going to be in Division One? There's 11 teams listed as a base Division One team. How many are really going to be in that bracket? 8? 10? Right? So what does that mean for Division Two? Then the other division. So Trevor, I'm going to do our best. We've got some girls' brackets to talk about as well. So always good to talk to Trevor. He's down in Bakersfield. He's a big football guy. Came on a couple times. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. At the top of the hour, I'm going to welcome St. Joseph head boys basketball coach Tom Mott to the show for the first time. You guys know how good his St. Joseph Knights are. I mean, it's a national power program right now. They are the defending Central Section Division One champs. They're 27-2 right now. They're currently ranked 6th in the state. Their regular season finished last night. They are a lock for the top seed again. I've not had Tom on the show. And texted him early in the week. He said, yeah, oh, come on, let's chop it up. So excited to talk to Tom about his program. You know, he's been in the open division in SoCal the last couple years. They've actually thrown St. Joseph into the NorCal that one year that they made it to the state championship against Harvard Westlake. So we'll break all that stuff down and his team and, just kind of his journey as a head coach as well. Excited to talk to Tom Mott at the top of hour number two. And then around 11:35, 11:40-ish, McLean coach Mitchell Davis-Chachere is coming on. McLean has a brand new gym this year. We broadcasted their game against Central East, and they were not quite ready to move into that gym. I actually haven't seen it. I've seen the outside. It looks absolutely amazing. So we're going to talk to Mitchell about that. His team's 19-9. Really good. They're going to be a force in the playoffs this year, probably Division Four. Looking at them being a high seed. All right, so let's get into some of the nitty gritty of some games that I was able to check out this last week, and a lot of talk about last night's Clovis West girls and Clovis basketball game. A lot on the line. So it was a 5:30 game. Got there, I don't know, 5:05-ish. Crowd was starting to come in. And let's say by the end of the game, it was standing room only. You know, a lot of parents, people coming in, probably anticipating the boys' game happening at 7. But it was an absolute packed crowd. Lots of stuff on the line. Both teams 7-1. The history of Clovis West girls on the line, right? 20 straight track championships. In Coach Craig Campbell's history, 20-20. Central East, right, has that win against Clovis West. Clovis West beat Clovis at Clovis. So, again, lots on the line. High-level basketball game. After the first quarter, guys, it was an absolute defensive clinic from Clovis High in that first quarter. 16-3. A lot of us could not believe that first quarter. The Cougars came out absolutely on fire in that one. Led 16-3. At one time, they were up 23-6. 28-17 at halftime. 40-29 entering the fourth quarter. And the final score, 54-44. Clovis High beats Clovis West. So that is the second loss in the track for the Golden Eagles. We've never seen that happen. Sadie Sin was absolutely sensational for Clovis in that one. Point guard, headed to Long Beach State, scored 28 points. Incredible ball handler, lots of poise. She was pretty excited after the game. Gabe Camarillo was there, interviewed her, was broadcasted on Fox 26. But congratulations to Coach Cooper Steele on that win. Big win for the program. Now, don't want to get ahead of ourselves because, like I said, there's still some games on Tuesday. And Central East, the team that beat Clovis West, is going to be playing at Clovis High on Tuesday. So, hey, hold your horses, right? If Central East wins that game, there'll be a three-way tie for first at 8-2. Let me throw some significance. And, again, another shout-out to one of our great sportscasters in the Central section. Stephen Hicks supplied this information on Twitter last night. So in the last 20 years, Clovis West had just lost four league games on their home court. In 2012 to Central, 2012 to Clovis, 2013 to Clovis, 2023, yes, to Clovis, 2026 to Central East, the one I mentioned, and then last night's game. Crazy, crazy. So I think that just shows the dominance that Clovis West has had and just the significance of the win from Clovis High. There was something that happened that I just got to shout out a little bit. You know, one of the things I love about high school sports is sportsmanship, right? And the love of the game. And I love to watch coaches after a game to see how they react, to see how they handle themselves in the handshake line after the game, how they present themselves, represent their program. And Coach Craig Campbell, just a hard loss for the program. Hard loss. Lots on the line, and they lost the basketball game. But Coach Campbell, like he always does, looks everybody in the eye, shakes their hand, gives them a hug, and that's what happened last night with Coach Cooper Steele, Clovis, Coach Craig Campbell, and Osadie Sin in that game. Let me go back a little bit. She got popped in the mouth and was bleeding pretty bad late in the, I think it was under a minute, maybe 44 seconds or so in the first half. She got absolutely popped on a screen, unintentional, and she was bleeding pretty good. We weren't quite sure how bad it was, but yeah, like I said, she got popped really good. I'm pretty sure it was a nose. Bleeding out of the nose, and you know, that's can happen with coaches. You get emotional. You don't like that your best player just got popped and is bleeding. Had to stop the game for a while and clean it up. So I, you know, watching after the game to see how that's handled. And Coach Craig Campbell, he said, yeah, sorry about that. No offense. Didn't mean to do that. Hope Sadie's okay. And hugged. It's competition. I get it. But at the end of the day, right, the players are playing the game. You respect the game, respect your opponent, and I saw that. Really cool. Just wanted to throw that out there. The other game I went to, I really quick drove to the Clovis North and Buchanan boys game. Another huge matchup. Both teams 7-1. Buchanan, we know what they've done under Coach Tom Orlich. Buchanan's defense is just absolutely elite. Holding teams under 50 points. Just go ahead and look at their scores on Max Preps. Elite defense. Clovis North, you know what they like to do. Push the ball up the court, transition, dribble drive, shoots lots of threes. And Clovis North got handled by Buchanan in their first round on the road. But Buchanan, again, comes out, plays that tough defense. Everything was challenged. And turned it into a 54-39 win, take control of the track. 24th win for the Bears. I think they're locked in as a 2 seed. They still got to play Clovis East on Tuesday. But can they challenge, who we're going to talk to in just a second, head coach Tom Mott and his St. Joseph team, if they make it to the championship game at Cellon Arena? I would think yes. This seems different from last year that made it all the way to that title game. They're much more deeper. They rotate a lot of guys in. Guys are fresh. The team defense concepts are there. And I think Des Patton, who is the point guard on that team, if Buchanan ends up winning the track outright, I think he's got a strong chance of being named track player of the year. Now, I don't even think the kid averages 10 points. Maybe 7-8 points. But his ability to control the basketball game defensively, he's a pest on defense. He can hit a three when he's open. Doesn't take a lot of threes, but he controlled the basketball game last night. So, hey, Des Patton, check out that kid. He's He's a tough basketball player. I went to the Kingsburg CVC game real quick here. Let me mention this before we hit the break and bring on Trevor Horn. That game was on Thursday. Great matchup. Cavs were 22-4, 7-0 in league coming into the game. Vikings were 20-6, 6-1. CVC had not beaten Kingsburg on the road in Kingsburg's home gym since Josh Bergman's been the coach there. And they came away with a win. They were down 42-30 entering the fourth quarter. Absolutely ramped it up in that fourth quarter. Came away with a 53-50 win. Jaden Bergman hit some big threes. Had a clutch steal. Clutch steal under a minute. It was 52-50. Kingsburg actually had a two-on-one break, and Bergman swiped away for a game-sealing steal. Grant Hyde's a really good player. Scored 16 for the Cavs. So Jensen Hirschhorn, just an absolute beast. He is a monster. I've talked about him pretty much every show. Probably going to talk him more as the baseball season rolls around. High-level baseball player, expected to go in the first round of the draft, signed with LSU, but 22 points, had a couple of his patented, like, volleyball kill blocks, as I like to call them, where the ball just basically goes straight down. But not enough for Kingsburg, so congrats to CVC. Looking at them as being a high-level seed in D3 this year. All right. That's a lot of info right there that I was able to spit out. I have 5 pages of notes. Still got some stuff to get to, but I want to take a break here and bring on Trevor Horn to talk about those playoffs. Oh, one more thing. How about those Buchanan girls soccer program? 20-0-1. They beat their rival Clovis North yesterday 3-1. They are locked for the top seed. Looking at their roster, a bunch of sophomores and freshmen on their team. I think they've only allowed, 6 goals all season. So I want to give some props to those girls. They'll be fun to watch. Now, soccer playoffs are going to be announced soon. They're going to be starting on February 14th for the boys and 13th for the girls. That's a Friday-Saturday deal. So soccer playoffs, don't want to forget about them, along with basketball playoffs, starting really soon. All right, enough of me talking about high school basketball and a little bit about girls soccer. We're going to take a break here, bring on Trevor Horn. We're going to be breaking down the basketball brackets the best we can. Again, it's not going to be gospel. There's going to be some mistakes like we did in football, but we're going to do our best to talk about what potentially could come out on Wednesday. All right, thank you guys for listening. Appreciate you all. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Back. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. Had a lot more stuff I wanted to get to in that opener. 5 pages of notes. I got to like 2/3 of it, but I got Trevor Horn on the line right now. Down 99 in Bakersfield area. Always up for a good conversation. Trev, what's going on, my friend?
Nothing. What's going on with you?
Just hanging out, talking about high school sports, just trying to explain to the good people out there what's going on, right? And, I had some fun games to cover this last week. I'm sure you saw that Clovis and Clovis West girls basketball score. And just lots of fun stuff, right?
Dude, is the streak going to end this year? I mean, this is nuts when we start talking about Clovis West and the girls basketball team and what Craig Campbell has been able to do with that program for the last 20 years. And does Clovis get the better of them at Selen this year?
Well, they had their shot last year. A lot of people remember the overtime game where, it's just one of those. There were like 5 straight shots that Clovis High missed to take the lead in that fourth quarter. And then once it went to overtime, it was kind of over. But, the track means a lot to a lot of people, winning the league and the streak and all that. But now we're kind of to the point, Trev, where Selen Arena matters. Obviously, right? It's like, okay, you could beat us here, you could beat us there, and, have a one-off, but it all comes down to Selen, doesn't it?
It does and it doesn't when it comes to Division One, especially with the fact that if both Division Ones in boys and girls basketball are eight teams only, that means they're all eight or state automatic state qualifiers just by being placed in Division One, correct?
Yes. So that is definitely one of the cases. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, you'll get like a Centennial boys basketball team that's going to be the eighth seed most likely when the brackets come out on Wednesday. They're going to play St. Joseph. They're not going to win. But we saw that in volleyball. We've seen that in volleyball, especially down here in Bakersfield, where same thing happened to a Centennial last year before they went to the pool play this year in volleyball, was they got ousted in the first round by Clovis West. They sat around for like 10 or 11 days waiting for the state brackets to be released, and they went out, and Centennial went out and, you know, ran the gauntlet in Division II and played for a state championship that year. So, yes, getting to sell-in matters for the top-seeded teams. But for the rest of the D1 seed, like the 4 seed to 8 seeds, they're prepping to try to win as much as they can. If they don't, they know that their season isn't over that night in the first round next Friday.
And Trevor, you bring up a really good point. That's something that I forget a lot is the automatic qualifiers for state, right? So, you know, you're losing the first round, right? You mentioned that. I mean, look what Buller did last year in boys basketball. For a couple years in a row, they haven't made it to Sellin Arena, but yet they advanced really, really far in state. Same with Bakersfield Christian boys last year.
Exactly. That's one thing I'm going to bring up, and that's one thing I just tweeted about because somebody brought up the fact that, you know, and this is something that we're going to get to in a second, is that, yeah, you can lose in the first round in the section playoffs and still get into a division in the state playoffs that is probably a little bit closer, you know, to, you know, your quality of play or maybe even less than, and then those teams that have played up in the non-league, those games aren't too big for them, especially if they have to go on the road down in L.A. or up in Sacramento, the Bay Area, depending on, you know, if they go north or south, those situations become easier to kind of mine through because you've been in that pressure pack situation before when you play up like a Bakersfield Christian does.
Yeah, and I know all these teams that we're talking about, especially in the boys, if there is eight, all those teams are definitely battle-tested. And one of the things, too, Trev, is – you know, let's say you lose in the first round, but you're guaranteed a state playoff game, you could probably be in a lower, right, division in the state playoffs, like we've seen on Division Two or Three.
Yeah, the Central Section will then take their 15 or 16 teams total. I can't remember, but they'll take them and they'll rank them and they'll hand them to the state office. The state office will look at this and be like, okay, well, they said that they were the three. How do they match up with everybody else? Okay, let's drop them down. And, you know, and it gets a lot bigger. And yeah, if you do drop down to a Division Two or Division Three, it becomes a lot easier. But here's the thing. Getting to Sellin matters. Getting the Golden One Center really matters. So it's one of those things is, you know, do you take one with the other? And, you know, getting into Division One now is not a death sentence for teams anymore, especially in basketball and volleyball, where they're all qualified. And so you go in, you give it your hardest effort, you give it your best try, and if you don't make it, your season is still going to go on. You're still going to get a chance against somebody likely out of the section. You know, sometimes they'll match up two section teams, and which is kind of a bummer, but, you know, those things happen. But like you said, Paul, it gives you more opportunity to continue the season on.
Yeah, and I know the state CIF, they got to fill those brackets up. So, right, the more the merrier, and we like that here in the Central Section. One thing too, Trevor, right, I think you can agree on this, is that the distance traveled is important when the state seedings come out as well, right? They don't want 6-hour bus rides in the first round, do they?
They don't, but sometimes it's unavoidable, especially like Fresno area teams obviously go north for the majority of it, where teams down here in Kern County, basically Bakersfield, will then go south just because, you know, we're 30 minutes from the base of the Grapevine, which means we're an hour and a half from the L.A. Basin, where you guys up there are, you know, 2.5-3 hours away from the L.A. Basin. So it differs from where you are in the Central Section as well. So, yeah, I mean, but you're leaving Bakersfield to go down to San Diego. It's still 4 hours, right? So, and you leave Fresno to go to the Bay Area, it's only 2.5. So it benefits everybody. It'll be interesting.
All right, so Trev, let's dive into
this. Sorry, it benefits everybody that the central section is the one section that go north or south because of it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we see that in every sport. All right, so let's dive in a little bit. D1, you believe there's going to only be 8 teams in D1 despite the 11 that is listed on the base divisions on the CF Central Section website. So you got Edison that isn't going to qualify for the playoffs and listen D1. So why do you believe 8? Is it because of the state qualifiers? So that means, you know, Sanger and maybe Clovis East drop down to D2. What are your thoughts?
Well, obviously Edison is out. They will not have the winning percentage to move on. Sanger is ranked too low as of right now to be even in the conversation for Division I. That shouldn't matter. But this Clovis East little surge here at the end of the season has been pretty impressive. But I don't think a record hovering around 500 really constitutes staying in Division I. So I think they should move down. And really, if the Central Section does it the right way, you know, here you have a Clovis East team that's 14-13 overall, and they finished 4-5. They still have one more game, right?
They got Buchanan. Yeah, they got Buchanan.
Okay, so they're going to finish 4-6 most likely, right? And a 500 record. That, to me, doesn't constitute being in Division I. And then, you know, now all the teams are no longer automatic qualifiers when you take that out. So it's one of those things to balance it all out. I think that you drop Sanger and Clovis East down to balance it out and leave Division I as 8 teams.
Okay. So let's go over who we think might be the top 8. I got St. Joseph as a lock of 1. Buchanan looked really good against Clovis.
I think, and let's just get it out of the way. You know, Tunde might be playing it at All-American level right now at Baylor, but that team is still loaded with the Price brothers. I don't really see how anybody – I think it's going to be much like last year where it's going to be double-digit wins for the Knights in those 3 games that they're going to play in the section playoffs, and they're going to get ready for the open division. So getting it out of the way, you know, everybody's playing for a consolation prize, I think, in Division I.
And I don't know if you heard, Trev, but Tom Ott's coming on the show at 11 o'clock. So first time on the show, excited to listen to him. So Buchanan 2, and then here's where it gets a little, messy, I guess.
Why?
Well, I mean, because you got the tiebreaker, right? You got Bakersfield Christian holds a tiebreaker over Samaki Memorial because they beat him head-to-head. And again, we don't know because games have not been updated.
That's not the why. Give me the reason why Buchanan over BCHS. I just want to hear your reasoning.
Max preps. Strength is okay. So look,
problem.
Okay.
That's the problem right there. Is that Max preps algorithm factors too much into good leagues over tough non-league schedules. It's basically telling a team, hey, congratulations on playing up and playing as many tough teams as you can as possible outside of your league, but we're going to really make it detrimental for you to be in a league that has 2 or 3 less than, you know, let's just say bad teams in it, like a Valley League down here in Bakersfield, where BCHS and PHS are 2 great teams, and then Highland, Ridgeview, and Independence are all 3 kind of middling around 500 right now, or even way below, like Independence might not even make the playoffs this year. So that's a tough situation for Bakersfield Christian, because this is a team, and I'm just going to make this argument really quickly. This is a team that played 6 teams this year that are currently ranked in the top 25, which also includes a win over Sheldon, which is ranked 18th overall, which also happens to be a team that beat Clovis North. So there is the 3 seed for BCHS. And they're going to jump Memorial because of the head-to-head battle. And I know that the head-to-head battle is not, and the common opponent is not supposed to factor in. It needs to, though. There really is an argument there for Bakersfield Christian over Buchanan because of the stronger strength of schedule. And Bakersfield Christian is undefeated against Central Section opponents this year. They're 13-0.
So looking at Max Preps, the strength of schedule, again, we're not. I don't know what goes into any algorithm, but their strength of schedule is sitting at 19, where Buchanan's at 17.4. Now, again,
there's the other question too, is that even in a lesser league, they still have a higher strength of schedule than the team that is the track champion this year.
Yeah, Garrett Brown said, his strength of schedule went down because of the league games.
And annually it does that. If you looked at Bakersfield Christian's non-league schedule on January 5th, it was the hardest one outside of St. Joseph's. St. Joseph's, by far, is the toughest strength of schedule. I know Clovis North's there, but again, you look at that Mountain League that they play in out on the coast, and the Valley League does not get the same kind of reputation that Max Preps gives the track. The reason behind that, I'm not 100% certain, but it's there.
Okay, so you're thinking St. Joe's 1, Buchanan or Bakersfield Christian 2 or 3. I think Buchanan is still going to sit there. Then you think Memorial's going to get that 4, and then then you got the Clovis North maybe at 5?
I do, yeah. So, and then North at 5, Clovis West 6, Bullard 7, and then Centennial rounded out at the 8.
Yeah, okay. I think we're right on those bottom three for sure. So what I think people out there are going to be asking right now is, what do you do? So let's say Clovis East does get moved down to Division II. According to Max Preps, there's Clovis. Again, this is going to be updated on Monday. That's one of the things that's a little frustrating. It's not updated after every game. So these are going to be updated on Monday.
Yeah, but I had a conversation with it. You don't really want to see it updated every day, because then it's just, you're kind of just juggling. Oh, look what happened on Tuesday night compared to what happened on Wednesday night. So it's actually better. It's like college football rankings, college basketball rankings, once a week. You understand that things have changed in that time frame, but it's not like when you use HS ratings when football games are being played on the same 2 days of the week. Every week.
Okay, but Clovis is sitting at number 5 overall because it has not been updated. But here's the deal. Clovis, if they go down to D2, which let me just double check here on the base. Base D2. Clovis East has 2 wins over Clovis. So if there's 3 places away, they're probably going to be jumped. So is there a case for Bakersfield High to be the 1 and then Clovis East to be the 2 and then Clovis High to be the 3?
Yes. Yes, there is. When you look at the fact, and I looked at this too. I looked at how those 3 teams, Bakersfield High, Clovis East, and Clovis, played against Division One, those 8 Division One teams we just talked about. Central East is winless in their 5 attempts, and they still have another game versus Buchanan on Tuesday, which will likely leave them 0-6 against Division I teams. Division I, not the wins over Clovis. Division I, the 8 teams that we see in Division
I. Yeah, it's almost like to equate it to college, a quad 1 win, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Where the quad 1 wins for BHS, they're 2-4 in those. They beat Centennial both times. They beat them in a tournament play here in town, and they beat them last week in a non-league game at Centennial, kind of handedly too. It was a really good game by the Drillers that night. All 3 of these teams lost to San Joaquin Memorial, and then Clovis is the 1 team. They're 3-5 overall in their 8 games against Division I opponents. They, like BHS, beat Centennial when they played them, and then they've also got the wins over Clovis West and Buchanan in league play. How do you factor all of that in? It's going to be really interesting to see, because they haven't factored in, as I'm looking at the Max Preps rankings just like you are right now, Centennial sitting at the 9, BHS is sitting at the 11. Those two are going to flip because now BHS has 2 wins over Centennial. So that's going to move BHS up even more. So Clovis East, and Bakersfield are all going to be there. But how do you factor all of this in? Do you take a team that goes 3-7 probably in their league over a team that went 6-2 in their 2 losses, or against a team that's going to be in the top three in the Central Section and top 25 in the state by Cal High, I think you take Bakersfield High as a number one seed.
And you've seen Bakersfield High, how much they've improved over the year. Their game against Bakersfield Christian was pretty tight, right? Was it 50?
Yeah.
Was the final score of that one? 53-50, something like that?
Yeah, 53-50.
Sound about right?
Okay. Really good game, and then the way that they turned it around and beat Centennial, just 4 days later was really impressive as well. So this is a really good BHS team. The only thing that's really going to hurt them is they started the season 1-5. They had losses to Memorial and Clovis West in November, but that wasn't the same team. They had still had a couple guys that were still playing football, like R.J. Sheehy, who is their top, probably one of the top point guards in the Central Section, just got offered by Cal State Bakersfield, just a sophomore, wasn't even on the – was still playing football at that time, too. So you got to – I know you can't factor those things in, but I think we would be looking at these rankings a lot differently had they had a full squad at that time, because they still had a couple football guys in there, and they're still kind of dealing with some injuries. But now that they're fully healthy, and you got Cade Johnson, who is probably one of the top pure scorers in the Central Section leading this Driller team, they're really a solid team. And that strength of schedule, just like Bakersfield Christian, is still up there because they played up as well in their non-league.
Yeah, that first game against Samaki Memorial way back on November 17th when Jalen Green had his jersey retirement ceremony, and they weren't at full strength in that one as well. You could tell they were really talented. They were athletic. Trevor, got about 5 minutes with you. Again, thanks for joining us. Again, this is not gospel. We're doing our best to figure some things out, but we got some common sense, right? We know what we're talking about every once in a while. Division III, you got some thoughts. Like, these are schools, the top five schools I'm extremely familiar with. I know you got North and South down there in Bakersfield, got really strong teams. So you got Tulare at one, they're a base D4 team. And now it gets a little bit tricky because you got those head-to-head matchups. CVC at number two, Garza at three. What's that?
I switch it around. I think Tulare Union, even with the loss to Amford and Lemoore of late, they're still probably going to be the number one seed in Division III. And then Garza, also a Division IV base team, is still going to stay at the
correct
two seed. But now
remember though, Trevor, CVC has a win over Garza. And two wins over Kingsburg,
so
too.
You might see Central Valley Christian moving up to the two seed as well. So because I had them at five last week, but now that they have those two wins over Kingsburg, that's going to drop Kingsburg down. Might even drop them all the way down to maybe the five or six seed, because the way that South is playing right now, they don't have a true bad loss. They beat North both times, both wins. One win was by 15 at home, and then they just beat North High by 9 on Tuesday. But that game was a double-digit win until North was able to sink a couple shots late in the game to get it under double digits. But those are two double-digit wins against the two-time Division III defending champs, who still have Ethan Sines playing and Cameron Sines' younger brother still playing ball there. It's a little bit of a down year for North compared to the previous 2 years. Their young team, they'll be back next year. That South team, they've been dealing with injuries all year long, and they're going to be, whether you put them at the 3, 4, or 5, I think South is really going to be a player in this one as well, because I really like the way that they play. Great guard play, and they got a big man underneath in Gavin Christian. But, yeah, I think right now it's going to go Tulare Union, possibly CVC, then Garza, and then Fresno Christian and South, or South Fresno Christian. It'll be really interesting to see how those go. And then North, they're a good team. They're a quality team. They play well. They'll still be a factor. I just don't think that they're going to be a favorite like they have been the previous 2 years.
Yeah, and Fresno Christian, only one loss in the year. Leon Maddock is an absolute bucket. So Fresno Christian, extremely dangerous, man, if they get a 4-seed. Really quick, Trevor, definitely we got to talk about some food in just a second, some Super Sunday traditions that you have. I got Sanger West, number one in D4. McLean, we're going to be talking to Mitchell Davis Shoshere.
If Fresno Christian doesn't get they decide that South is better than Fresno Christian, Fresno Christian's winning D4. Over Sanger West if they stay in D4.
I agree.
Look out for McFarland. McFarland can score a lot of points. Malachi Davis, really good guard, was a really good quarterback for them this year. D5, Cal City, D6, or OC will be the top seeds most likely.
Absolutely. All right, Trev. Now, this is the moment that you got some final thoughts on the bracket stuff?
D2. Yeah, look out for girls D2. It's going to be really interesting. You're going to have three D3 teams from Bakersfield, the top three seeds. Centennial just has one loss to a team out of Florida, so they haven't lost anybody in the state this year. And then Frontier, really good young team. And then Bakersfield Christian, who's got one of the best freshman guards in the section. So those will be your top three seeds in Division II on the girls' side as well. That'd be really interesting to watch how that all folds out. But I want to talk food now.
What are your go-tos when you go to your big parties, wherever you have it at? What are you migrating towards first?
Show me the wings. Show me the wings, and if anybody did barbecue, and then I'll judge them. But I'll still eat it.
Are you a dip guy? You got to have a good
dip. I'm a huge ranch and blue cheese guy. I like to make my own ranch. But it's, I don't know, man. I got a really good butcher shop down the street from the house. I love to go down there, get their wings, throw them in the air fryer, and it just crisps them up nice and perfectly. And that's always a go-to for me. And then I'm going to somebody else's house, which I'm not this year. The wife and I are just going to hang out here at the house tomorrow. I'm going to make sliders. I'm going to cook up some wings, and we're just going to hang out and watch the game and, you know, hopefully for good ads for once in the last 20 years.
And watch your boy run around a little bit crazy, right? With wings all over his face and stuff.
And try to keep the TV on the game the whole time without him hijacking it from us.
Hey, good stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you jumping on and trying to hash this stuff up. Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.
I miss you. I miss seeing your face, but I'll see you at Selling in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. Can't wait. All right, Trev. Thanks again.
All right. See you, bud.
All right, we're going to take a break here, and around 11:05 or so, we got St. Joseph coach Tom Mott. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Just had a really good conversation with Trevor Horn, trying our best to break down the brackets the best we can do at this point. There's tiebreakers and, there's lots of different factors for that. We go by max prep. So we'll all know how everything is going to shake out as far as seedings go on Wednesday for both the boys and the girls brackets. As I mentioned in my opener, very excited about our next guest. It's his first time on the show. I messaged him earlier in the week hoping he could come on. He said, sure, Paul, no problem. So excited to have Tom Mott on the show right now, head boys basketball coach at St. Joseph. Knights are 27-2. Both their losses were really tight. One's by only 3 points, by one. So they're just a couple points away from having a perfect season so far. Just finished their regular season, ranked number 6 in the state of California, according to Cal High Sports, defending D1 Central Section champs. Tom, first of all, thanks for coming on, man. This is certainly a pleasure for me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Paul. Happy to be here. And, although we're a couple hours away from you over here on the coast, I know a lot of our coaches and stuff, they hop on and listen to your stuff and see all your tweets and all the great stuff you do for the high school kids in the community. So thank you for that.
Hey, thanks. Sometimes I don't know who's out there listening, so that's good to know. And, you're doing a great job there at St. Joseph. But I want to ask, how's weather, man? It's been so foggy here in Fresno, in the Central Valley. I drive from Fresno basically to Kingsburg every morning. Got some foggy days scheduled. I mean, coastal weather still as is, right? Beautiful in the morning, a little foggy, but then it burns off.
This week was pretty much incredible. I mean, every day was 75 to 80 and not a cloud in the sky. So we're lucky. Today's a little bit cooler, probably about 70, but we can't complain.
Never complain about the coastal weather, that's for sure. All right, so let's talk about your team this season. As I mentioned, 27-2, another high ranking. I haven't been able to watch you guys this year. I have the last couple of years, obviously last year at Celand Arena, but just kind of give us a snapshot of the team. I know the Price brothers are having an amazing year. It's pretty rare to see two guards. I assume they're playing guard position or wing position, whatever, but averaging over 20 points a game. So just for those that have not watched you guys play this season, what's a snapshot of your team this year look like?
Yeah, no, we have, you know, three full-time starters back from last year. So, and they're all ours at the guard position. So, you know, in high school basketball, if you have good guards, you're going to win a lot of games. And, you know, Julius has been a four-year starter. Malcolm, his younger brother, started last year as a sophomore and this year as a junior. And then Gunnar Morinini this is his third-year start. And so those guys have a ton of experience, ton of big-game experience. And all three of them have done a phenomenal job. Obviously, like you mentioned, the Price brothers both averaging over 20. Gunnar Morinini's close to 14 a game. But they defend. They have high basketball IQ. They're competitive. You know, they're just three really, really good guards.
And go ahead, Tom.
And then complimenting them, you know, I think in, you know, when we look back at, you know, last year and after, you know, we lost a couple seniors, obviously Tunde was a huge part of our successes last year. And, you know, going into summer events, you know, we're trying to figure out what our identity was. I mean, I think as coaches, we kind of knew that we could be good. I think if you would have asked me before the season, you know, I think all coaches kind of map through their schedule and say, yeah, we might have X amount of losses or X amount of wins for the year. And, you know, I think we've overachieved in that department. I thought, you know, with our schedule, probably seven losses would be, you know, a season which we could hang with. But, you know, these guys just have done a great job. I mean, our big guys, you know, have come on and, you know, especially defensively, they've set the tone for us. When you have your guards, you know, averaging over 55 points a game, you know, the bigs don't need to do much other than rebound and defend. And, you know, they're doing a great job.
How are you guys scoring a lot of your points? Is it transition game, your half court sets, little bit of everything?
Yeah, you know, the guards, I think Malcolm Price is shooting 45-46% from three. Gunner's right behind him. Julius is a little bit down from his normal. He's probably like at 40%. So when your guards are shooting at a high clip from three, that definitely helps. And then, you know, transition, we're getting, I mean, our guys are running the floor real well and sharing. I mean, the key is sharing the ball and taking good shots. I mean, I think there's only been a couple games where we haven't shot 50% from the field, and that's a testament to our guys knowing what a good shot is. And, you know, you might have a good shot, but your teammate has a great shot, so let's share the ball a little bit, get them the better shot, and your percentages are going to go up.
Let's talk about Julius a little bit more. As you mentioned, a four-year guy headed to Stanford, just committed maybe a month ago or so. Just talk about what he brings to the basketball court, what he brings to your program, what kind of a player specifically Stanford is getting next year.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting, first and foremost, a great guy. I mean, he's as good as it gets on and off the court. On the court, you know, he played point guard primarily for us his first couple years, and then, you know, his brother has grown and developed. Julius has played a little bit more off the ball this year. You know, we've moved him around the court a little bit you know, we've thrown him in the post a few times. So him and Malcolm, they share the point guard duties. And, you know, he shoots it at a high clip. He always defends the other team's best player. You know, his basketball IQ is very high. You know, there's a reason he's going to Stanford. I mean, he's a sharp kid. And there's no doubt that he's going to be ready to go from day one up there.
Yeah, he is definitely a tough player. Watching him play the last 3 years, he definitely gets after it. I'm curious about your schedule, Coach. And, you know, looking at Max Preps, if you go to Max Preps, the beginning of your schedule just says tournament opponent, tournament opponent, tournament opponent. Well, that's because looks like you traveled around 12,000 miles at the beginning of the year. Went to Bangkok, Thailand.
Mileage. I think it's about double that. But
it probably felt a lot longer on some of those flights, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like last year, we went down to the Philippines. One of our former players is playing professionally down there, and we got to talking about how great a trip that would be. I mean, basketball in the Philippines is unmatched. I mean, the love they have for hoops is incredible. So we went down there last year, had a great trip, and then the guys were like, you know, what are we going to do this year? So we had to, you know, we had to step it up a little bit. So we, you know, chose to go to Thailand, where basketball is not very good, but, you know, the cultural stuff was incredible down there. The food was great. And then from there, we went over to the Gold Coast of Australia. So basically you fly into Brisbane, and then you go down the coast a little bit. And it was called the Australian School Basketball Championships or something. So it's basically all the best high schools in Australia come together for, I mean, it's almost like an AAU event. You're in these huge facilities with 10 courts going on at a time, but you're playing all the best high schools in Australia. And that was, you know, the cultural, I mean, Australia is beautiful. I mean, we were blocked from the beach. It was 85 degrees every day. And it's, I mean, tough to complain about that. And the basketball, you know, the basketball was good. I mean, there was a couple, you know, a couple games that weren't that great, but, you know, gave everybody a little bit of chance to play. But just being able to go down there and experience two totally different cultures and countries and languages and food. I mean, our kids had an incredible experience, and now they're already asking where we're going to go next year. So we got to see what we can come up with.
Yeah, you set a precedence, right? Like, how are you going to how are you going to top all this stuff?
Yeah.
That's the truth. I'm curious about, let's go back to your team a bit, just the mindset. You know, last year's team with Tunde and watching you guys at Celand Arena, I felt like you guys played just with an incredible amount of purpose, like you were guys were on a mission because, you know, the year before, Clovis North was able to beat you guys at Celand Arena, and then last year you guys beat Buchanan pretty handily. Just kind of the MO of this year's team, has that mentality carried over? The guys getting after it at practice and just playing with a real sense of purpose right now?
Yeah, I think this year's team is, you know, is kind of looking at it like, you know, last year it was definitely Tunde was the lead singer, and everybody thought that, you know, the reason St. Joe's is good is because of Tunde, and undoubtedly, you know, he played a huge part. But these guys, you know, especially Gunnar Mornini and Julius Price, you know, the two seniors, want to prove to, you know, everybody that it wasn't just a one-man gang last year, that these guys are good as well. So I think they went into the season with something to prove. I mean, us as coaches, we kind of knew how good they were and how, you know, if we, you know, we would keep getting better as the season progressed. And I think, you know, and looking at this season from where we were, you know, last June when we just, you know, had the group together for the first time without the seniors, they've improved tremendously. And I think that sense of we want to show everybody that we're good too is the mentality they have. And, you know, as the season's progressed, it's kind of been kind of like you said, you know, playing with purpose and kind of know, you know, we're here to play a game. We don't need to get into all the other stuff, but we want to be locked in every minute of every game. And, you know, they're high school kids, so sometimes they tend to drift on some things, and just keep them focused, and, you know, they've done a great job of that.
Good to hear. Yeah, high school kids, right? So a lot of times we forget that they're 16, you know, 17, 18 years old. And, you know, I coach junior high kids, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm screaming at these kids. He's like 13, 14 years old, right? Sometimes we forget how young they are. Do you follow do you follow the other teams in the central section, right? Do you still feel a little disconnected, or are you still very connected to follow, you know, the Buchanans, the Clovis North, the Bakersfield Christians, the Memorials? I know Memorial went and played you guys over there this year, but do you feel there's a disconnect, or how much do you really follow all the other teams in D1?
Oh, yeah, we definitely keep an eye on things. You know, luckily, like in the summer and the fall, we see a lot of these schools at the same events, so we get to you know, check them out there. I know several of them come over to the Mission Prep Tournament every year. So, you know, we get to see them, you know, 5 minutes from our house, which is nice. And definitely checking scores. Like last night, we'd finished our game a little early, and we were having a little dinner at Firestone Grill and checking the Buchanan Clovis North score. And so definitely checking things out. Um, thank, thank God for Huddle and NFHS, where we don't have to drive to scout people anymore. We can just sit on our couch and, you know, click it on the computer. So, but definitely, I mean, there's a lot of good teams over there in the Valley, a lot of great coaches, and we're, you know, definitely keeping our eyes on things.
And obviously, you guys are a national level program and made it far in the Central Section Championships, obviously in the state tournament as well. I'm curious, though, you know, kind of piggybacking on the these other teams you mentioned following Buchanan. Coach Tom Orlich is an absolute legend. Just got his 900th high school win a couple weeks ago. Brad Rosnowski from San Joaquin Memorial, Coach Jalen Green, coached some high-level guys, Tony Adamson, of course, Vance Wahlberg, who you've coached against as well. Like, how much do you enjoy that aspect of the game, right? The chess match, the game planning, going against, like, high-level coaches like that. How much do you enjoy that?
I mean, that's – I mean, as a competitor, I mean, we can't get on the floor anymore and guard a guy, but we can play chess with the other coaches, which is, you know, I think what keeps us all in the business. You know, we get to see Tony a ton because he's always at the Mission Tourney and, you know, just watching how their teams play. No matter who's in what role, they're executing the system. They're playing as hard as anybody. And, I mean, they're just fun to watch. And, you know, it's funny because this, you know, the Fresno State game this week where they came back and had the improbable, you know, victory over UNLV. I mean, seen that a million times with Vance at Clovis West. So, I mean, it was always, you know, when you play those two guys and Brad, we played against a bunch, you know, they're going to be prepared. I've only coached against Tom once, I think, last year in the finals. And we haven't seen Buchanan too much outside the season. So, you know, but for those other three guys, I mean, like you said, they are legends. And you know, it's fun to coach against great coaches and guys that you know are going to be prepared, have their teams playing hard, and have their system that they're going to run to a T. And, you know, if you don't come prepared, then, you know, it's going to be a long night for you. So definitely lucky to coach against those guys. And fun to watch your teams play.
I'm curious, Tom, talking with Tom Mott, head coach of St. Joseph, is there a specific game that you feel like you really put your stamp or put St. Joseph boys basketball on the map here in the Central Valley? You know, as somebody that's in the media, follows high school sports, you know, to a T, you know, I still feel like the coastal teams. We don't know a lot about you guys. You know, even with football, you're like, I don't know how good St. Joseph is because I haven't seen them. So is there a specific game or a moment you feel like you really put your stamp, like, hey, we've arrived, we're for real, and we're here to stay?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, when you win a championship, it kind of brings notice to everybody. And I think our first one was in that crazy COVID year in 2021 where we came over to San Joaquin and played. I think it was like mid-June. It was probably 95 degrees over there for an afternoon game. And it, I mean, it was just a weird year to begin with, yet alone finishing a season in the middle of June. But the game before that, actually, is we hosted Clovis West at our place. And they had Cole, and I mean, I think it was our first time playing them in a regular season game, and I mean, just an unbelievable game. 87-83, I think, was the final, and both teams just shot the lights out. And you know, and it was, I think it was even after we had been out of school. It was just a weird season. And then after that, we go over to Fresno, and we're lucky to beat San Joaquin. So that little stretch there, I think, was, you know, kind of the end of the COVID craziness, you know, with two big wins and then moving on to the next year where everything got a little bit more back to normal. And, you know, just the memories from that year. I mean, we talk about it all the time with our staff, like, was the best game that we've played, funnest game, and that Clovis West game ranks right up there with it, with anything.
I think, yeah, that's for me, because we broadcasted that championship game. And I went back, Tom, and looked at the date. It was June 13th. I mean, the COVID stuff is just crazy. You just kind of think about life, and you think post-COVID and, you know, pre-COVID. And that game was in June. And you guys brought a huge student section. I think that's the game that stands out to me.
Yeah, it was great. And then after that game, I think we still had the state playoffs, and we went down to Damien and just got blasted because I think our guys were like, you know what, we're tired of this nonsense. Let's start summertime. And, you know, we were down 20 at halftime. It was just, so we don't even remember that game. We focus on the last win of that year. So
yeah, I do too. All right, so let's talk about Tunde. Leading scorer in school history in California until Jason Crow, and we figured he was gonna do that, right? Crow's an amazing scorer, having a great year at Baylor. I've caught a few of his games, doing an amazing job there, averaging I think 18 and about seven and a half rebounds. For those that don't know his full story, what's something that you can share about his arrival to your school and how hard he's worked to become the player that he is today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Tunde is obviously, you know, people see the physical gifts that he has and, you know, are like, you know, it's just God-given and he's just, you know, he's been blessed and all that. But the reality of who Tunde is that I've coached a long time. I've never seen anybody in the gym as much as him, like not even close. I mean, he would be in there. You know, after a win, after a loss, he'd be in there at 6 o'clock the next morning, trying to get better. And I think when he, when he was with us, he knew all eyes were on him and he knew that he had to deliver. And, you know, when we look back at his career at St. Joe's, like there weren't many games where he didn't step up to the plate. I mean, he had a few games where he, you know, didn't get his normal 25 to 30, but you know, he came to play every single night. We never had to coach him on playing hard or energy or effort. You know, he always thought that he was the best guy on the court, and 99% of the time he was. And, you know, now that he's at Baylor, you know, we're starting, you know, the NBA's, you know, right around the corner. We're constantly getting calls from, you know, NBA teams about him. And, you know, and they ask the same questions, like what sets him apart? You know, what makes him who he is. And the thing I always tell people is like, he has this self-confidence about him that if he was on the court playing one-on-one against, you know, LeBron or Kobe or any of the greats, he would go into that game thinking that he was going to win. And, you know, I think the great players, you have to have that mentality. And I mean, you always hear about Kobe and the Mamba mentality that he had. And, and sometimes for us as coaches, it was tough. Just because he was so confident in himself that we had to, rein him in a few times. But he wants to win, and he's going to, you know, make sure his teammates elevate to his level. And he did a pretty good job of that during his career here with us and now at Baylor. I know, you know, I was back there early in the season for a game and had a little rough stretch of it in the Big 12, and I think it's been – you know, a humbling experience for him to realize that, like, you know what, there's so many great players in this world that, and he's near the top of the list. So you just got to keep on grinding and doing your thing. And, you know, a couple months from now, he'll hopefully be getting his name called.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah. I looked at some draft projections and he's anywhere between 15 and 21, 22 range. Is there a play, Tom, like in high school that wowed you and your staff where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Tunde just did that? Or, you know, I've seen tons of clips of him dunking the basketball and wowing the crowd, but is there something that stands out to you and your staff?
You know, one of ours, he had a play up in at St. Francis High School in Mountain View where he missed like a little 5-footer, 8-footer, and jumped and got his own rebound put back dunk, which one of our coaches thinks it's the greatest play in the history of high school basketball, but you know, I'm a little bit more reserved on that. I think the thing with Tunde is that, like, we played some pretty good teams and players, and, like, if he was going against another 5-star, he would always dominate. You know, he would always physically, mentally let them know that he was the baddest dude on the court. And I think, you know, yeah, I mean, he had a ton of dunks and a ton of, you know, big time plays and memorable things. But I think the thing that stands out for me the most is when he, you know, we were facing another team that had, you know, a guy that was a McDonald's All-American or, you know, a top whatever guy. Tunde would go out there and show the guy that, you know, you might be good, but tonight I'm going to be the guy. And he did that every single night. So,
yeah, I think the work ethic, right, separates, but I think that mentality, right? You gotta have confidence when you're on the court. You gotta be the dude. A couple more minutes here with Tom Mott, head coach at St. Joseph. Great stories about Tunde. Let's talk a little bit about state playoffs. Like your guys' run throughout the last 4 or 5 years. You mentioned the COVID year and getting blown out in that. But after that, you guys have definitely made a name for yourselves in the state of California. So you've been in SoCal Open, what, I think 3 out of the 4 last years. When you guys were in the North, right, that's when you made it to the championship game against Harvard-Westlake. Am I correct on that?
Yep, you are.
So how do you feel, right, Tom? This is an open invitation for you to talk about. You could go in any direction you want. How do you feel about being placed in the South? Do you think that's a true reflection of where the program should be and representing the Central Section?
Well, if you're looking at just geography, like I never claim that I'm from Northern California. And I probably would lean more towards Southern California. But if you're looking at, you know, what makes a state bracket, you know, the strongest, the most equitable, you know, you would think, there's so many unanswered questions. I mean, even when Trevor was on earlier today, I caught the last end of that. Like, you know, is this team going to go to D2 or they in the state? Are they going to go south or north? You know, the thing that makes sense to me, and I sent this off to Ryan Toss and he sent it up to, I think, the state committee is, you know, I truly think that each section at the open division level should have, you know, I think the San Joaquin section, North Coast section, Central section, and the CCS should all have their champions go to the north of their open division or their highest division one. And then fill that bracket with, you know, I still think 18 brackets are the way to go. And so find 4 at-large teams from any of those 4 sections. And then for the south, you know, you got the San Diego, you got the LA City, and you got the Southern Section. Obviously, the Southern Section is the best section and probably, you know, definitely the state and, you know, one of the best in the country. So you got 4 champions or 3 champions there, and then you got 5 at large. And then you got, you know, a real bracket where there's 8 teams in the north, 8 teams in the south, and then you get to decide who the champion is. You know, because every year, you know, you'll have I think the year we went up north, I think it was a 5-team bracket where have you seen a 5-team bracket before in a state championship? So I think we went up and we played away at Doherty Valley and then away at Modesto Christian and then back up there again at Golden One Center for the state championship. And, yeah, we put a lot of miles on the car, but, you know, if we would have gone south, it would have been pretty much exactly the same. So, you know, they told me that, you know, Bakersfield is kind of the dividing line, and which, I mean, still kind of makes no sense because, you know, the year Clovis North wins the section championship, they go north, but then next year we win it, we go south. And, I mean, the Clovis North girls win it every year, and they go north every year. So there's just no rhyme or reason. I think, like, everybody would be served better if the CIF would just come out and say, all right, this is how it's going to be. It's going to be the same every year. And people know going into the season where they're headed. Because, I mean, you know, we scheduled, you know, our schedule is, you know, we played Salesian this year, who's number one in the north. And, you know, we didn't really go south at all this year for any big tournaments or anything, knowing that probably we'll get sent south again and we'll probably see those teams in the open.
Yeah, is there a different style though, Tom, between the northern state playoffs and the southern, or do you see the same type of style as far as basketball goes?
You know, I think the style is similar. I think the talent level is distinctly different. I mean, you just look at who's won the state championship over the last 20 years in the highest division. I don't know the stats, but I think someone said Leon Poe's team from
Yeah.
Oakland Tech or wherever he went was the last one from the North to win the highest bracket. I may be wrong, but that's what someone told me. So if the South's been dominating, obviously they just have the depth of talent. And obviously there's more teams, more, super high quality programs. I'm not saying, Salesian last year got to the finals and played Auburn's Westlake great, but they just couldn't get over the top. So, you know, I think it's just an easier, obviously you got to play the best to get there. And the year we went, Doherty Valley is top 10 team in the state, as was Modesto Christian. But it's different, Modesto Christian is not the same as Sierra Canyon or Auburn Westlake.
Yeah, Sierra Canyon, again, looks like they're the team to beat this year. It's always a bloodbath down in SoCal, whether it's football, basketball. I know baseball state playoffs have become a thing as well. Tom, we got a couple more minutes with you. And speaking of baseball, doing the research, right, there's Tom Mott playing in a Minnesota Twins organization from, 94 to 98? True story, fun fact.
Yeah, fun fact. Yeah, I was a baseball guy. Played baseball up at Santa Clara. Actually made my collegiate debut at Fresno State as a freshman. I was back in those days we had JV at Santa Clara, so I was a JV guy my first year. I was a walk on, and got called up for the big bus trip down to Fresno, and I think it went extra innings or somehow we ran out of players, so the coach had to put me in. So he put me in to pinch hit with the bases loaded, and I almost dropped one in down the right field line. It was just foul, and then struck out the next pitch, and then they made me a pitcher after that. So, I got drafted a couple years later and, played 5 years in the minor leagues, had some great experiences, great teammates, played with, Big Poppy David Ortiz was on my A-ball team, A.J. Pierzynski, just a bunch of guys that ended up making it, and just tons of great memories from baseball. But, when you look at being, people always ask, why aren't you a baseball coach? And basically I tell them that, last night our game at Slow started at, 6:30. We were out of there at 7:45 and I was at Firestone by 8 and didn't have to take care of the field. Didn't have to, put away any of the equipment, and we were in and out in an hour and 15 minutes. And, you're coaching baseball. You're there for 3-4 hours and the weather and all that stuff. And so, I was probably a little bit better at baseball as far as being able to play collegiately and professionally, but basketball's always been my first love.
Hey, good stuff, Coach. I really appreciate you coming on, man. Great stories. We could probably go for another half an hour chopping it up about basketball and your time playing for in the Minnesota Twins organization. But hey, thanks again for jumping on and telling people more about your program and a little bit more about you. Really appreciate it, Tom.
Absolutely, Paul. Thank you very much, and have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Tom Mott, head basketball coach at St. Joseph. Got a really strong team again. Maybe we'll see them at Sullivan Arena. All right, we're going to take a break, and we've got McLean basketball in the house right now. Mitchell Davis Shoshre is here. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Good conversation with Coach Tom Mott, St. Joseph. Go back and listen to any episodes that you miss on 1430ESPNFresno.com under podcasts. They are all, boom, right there, commercial-free. So you don't have to listen to all the commercials there. You could skip to your favorite parts. All right, we got Mitchell Davis Shoshre live here at First String Sports, head coach at McLean. Year four, year five, where are we at?
Five.
Year five.
It's gone fast.
19-9 on the year, looking to be a high seed in D4. I have a brand new gym that we're going to talk about in just a second. But, Mitch, just kind of looking at the brackets here, D4, looking at Sanger West, McLean, McFarland, Santa Maria, Kerman, maybe Madera, the Emmanuel, Tulare, Western. How much do you study this stuff? Right, you're pretty hardcore on it, aren't you?
Yeah, quite a bit. A lot of those teams we're familiar with. Sanger West is that one's turned into quite a rivalry lately. we've played Kerman a couple times. Emmanuel, we're familiar with Emmanuel playing in the playoffs and we go to their tournament. We keep eyes on all those teams.
So let's talk about your year so far. I was able to broadcast your great game against Central East in that loud gym of yours, man. It was hard to even hear ourselves. That was a fantastic game. Just kind of give us a snapshot of your year, 19-9. Just like, where do you feel you guys are at right now? And I know what you won on Thursday, but coming off of a couple hard losses, one to Sanger West, but just kind of where you guys are at right now.
The guys are doing great. We finished a little earlier than everybody else, so it's kind of helping to get them their knickknacks and bruises and all that stuff taken care of. But it's been a great year this year. I think this is the best year overall we've had since our first year. 19 wins is this is great season. 72nd in place in the league is great. Like you said, we had those two close wins to finish, or two close losses to finish, but we were in those games from start to finish. So it's been an overall great year, especially with the guys we have. A lot of four-year kids, so we've kind of taken their program to the next level. And so we're really proud of those guys and what they've been able to accomplish this year.
All right, so give us some names. Who are some dudes that have stood out for you this year?
Oh, man, there's so many of them. Kevon Burchard, you know, became the first. McLean opened in 1959. He became the first player this year to score 1,000 points in a career. Demetrius Simon, everybody knows Demetrius, yep. is the top football player going to Cal Poly. He's on the verge of scoring 1,000. You know, he's all-time steals leader, rebounds, blocks, and then Christian Smith. Christian Smith became the all-time assist leader this year, and he's also one of our team captains. Those are 3-4-year guys that we've had that over watching them grow in the last 4 years has been outstanding.
The camaraderie on this team, right?
Right.
The style of play, right, dictates a lot of that because you guys are pressing, you're scoring in transition, you're sharing the basketball. So the chemistry wise seems like it clicks pretty well.
Oh yeah, it's been, those guys went to middle school together, and we just watch them grow throughout high school. It's funny you mentioned the style of play. Somebody just brought it up to me the other day. We remind them of the 90s Arkansas Razorbacks with the 40 minutes of hell, which was a good comparison, I think, too.
Signature win this year, like, can you point to a game as like, dude, that was a phenomenal, you got a 1-point win over Hoover, good win over Hanford, that Central East game that we mentioned as well. Is there a game that sticks out to you?
The Hoover game at Edison.
That was at Edison?
Weeks ago, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was a big-time win. We played them at the Clovis West Nike tournament, and we kind of got away with that one. We won it at the end, so that one was a big-time rematch. In my 4 previous years, they were in the NYL, we weren't able to beat them. So being able to beat them twice this year was big for those kids.
Coach Archie,
yeah,
right? Well, right. What was that handshake line like after the game?
Oh, it was good.
All right.
We're both Hoover grads. We're both Hoover grads, so it was all good.
Speaking of Hoover grads, do you still got your Letterman? We do our show from the Letterman's Jacket Room, another plug for First String Sports. Did you have one back in the day?
No, unfortunately, I didn't have one. But my parents still have all my Hoover warm-ups. I have all my old team stuff from playing on the basketball team there. They still have it all at their house.
Is it – all right, let's be honest. So Hoover, McLean, obviously Fresno Unified Schools. When you got the McLean job, was it a little strange putting on some red, like different colors as opposed to the green?
Oh, 100%. 100%. It was a little different, especially walking in that gym. And then, you know, getting used to being on the home side of things, it was a different feeling for sure.
Is your closet full of red?
Oh, it's all black and red.
It's all black and red.
That's it.
What kind of shoes do you wear during games?
I wear tennis shoes. Yeah.
Not Jordans
or
anything?
I'm not a big Jordan guy. I'm a big Nike guy. So a lot of the Nike running shoes. Keep it comfortable. I move around a lot.
You do. You do. So, again, I'm going to reference that game that we broadcasted. So if you've never been – in the, I guess we could call it the old gym. We're going to talk about the new gym in just a second. The cave.
Yeah.
Okay, we walk into it. We're all along the baseline. We're kind of set up at an angle and by your bench. And let's just say a couple times I could not see the far side of the court because you were right in front of us blocking it. But that's your MO, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Getting up and down the court.
That's the way I go. I tell these guys every year my goal is to sit down and coach them and from the bench and sit down and be real calm and reserved. But I can't. I got to be up. I jump up and down. I'm running. I'm yelling. So, and it's good, though. The kids feed off that, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The bench is into it. You got any technical fouls, though, Coach? You got
Not
any in your
year,
career?
No.
Oh, Not
I,
this
I have,
year.
I have some, yes.
All right. Have you learned how far to push it? I mean, that's a thing.
Right.
Right? Like, right? I love watching coaches. I love watching how they react in games. But right? You got to have to pick your battles, don't you?
Oh, you do. You do. And then sometimes, you know, you want to, like you said, you learn stuff over time, and you want to learn how to set things up. And, you know, that's definitely a thing for sure.
Sometimes you got to even say, okay, good call, good call, good call. Try to get them on your side a little bit, maybe get that next call for you. I know how the game works. Tell me about this new gym. Maybe when you first heard about it, like maybe your admin came and said, hey, here's the plans, right? Was that even a thing when you got the head coach, or when did you first hear about that?
Right. So I started at McLean long, long time ago, 2015 as an assistant coach. And there was always talk of them building another gym. And it was always just talk and chatter. And I left the Sunnyside, and when I came back as the head coach, okay, the talk started to get a little bit more louder. Hey, there's a good possibility that the district is opening up more funds, and that there'll be a new gym built on campus. But then as the years go by, 3 years go by, and it just turns into more talk. And then I get the call from my principal, hey, we are actually getting a brand new gym. So I said, oh, you know, once they break ground, okay, I'll believe it.
That's right.
And then walking that first day on campus, and you see the construction crew, and you see everything moving, then you say, oh, well, this thing is, it's actually
really
happening.
Yeah.
It's really happening. And then over time, 2 years, just to watch it slowly develop, you get used to just walking on campus, and you just walk by the construction site. And then at the start of this year, when everything really started to go up, you say, well, that's a building right there. And so, yeah, that's the pace and what it felt like watching them build it.
So explain to people out there where it exactly sits right now. So I don't know if you're on Cedar or
where. It's got a great location as far as the campus goes. The stadium is right there off of Cedar and Clinton, where the main parking lot is. It's located directly right off that main parking lot. The older gym's in the back of the campus, so you know you have to walk down that old school alleyway to get to the gym. No longer that case. You just park, and the gym's right there, and it's got the beautiful setup. It's got a glass front, so you can see right into the lobby, and it's got the big mural right there, especially at night. When it's all lit up, it looks great.
When you first walked into it, like maybe did you get the first shot? Like, did they have a ceremony or anything?
They didn't have – well, we had a ceremony later, but the moment I was able to go in there, I did take a basketball in there with me, and I did shoot it off the backboard and make a layup, just to say I was the first one to ever make a shot in the gym.
There you go. Awesome. You should have, like, taken a pencil and, like, signed your name somewhere where you would know about it, like, first shot made in the gym, timestamp it. All right, so describe, like, what it looks like inside. Just obviously, you know, the bleachers. Are there some side courts and some rims that come down? What's it look like?
So it's a beautiful gym. It has all glass backboards all the way around, which is you don't really find that in most gyms. It does have two side courts we're able to use alongside with the main court. The bleachers, so it's not as big seating capacity-wise as the older gym, but it does have a different feel to it. There's a big mural along the backside of our school logo of the Highlander, both the male and the female Highlander. The team rooms are absolutely beautiful in there. If anybody knows about going to the old cave, you actually had to walk outside to get to the locker rooms. That's no longer the case. It's literally right on the other side of our bench. Halftime goes and we go right into the other room, right into the room. There's TVs in there. There's whiteboards. Mm-hmm. There's chairs. There's benches. There's even training tables in there. It's got a totally different feel to it. As far as the sound goes, unfortunately, it's not as loud as the old cave with those bricks. The way sound reverberated off those bricks, it got really loud in there. But when we packed it on opening night, it did get real loud.
Talk about that opening night. Which game was it?
That was Matilda Torres. The second go-around in the league. I want to say it was the 27th, I believe.
Let me go back here. So, yeah, Torres, 27th. You guys won 67-46. So that was opening night. Like, just describe, like, what the kids were saying about it. Like, what have they talked about as far as the facilities? And you mentioned the room with the TVs. Like, they kind of pinching themselves?
Oh, of course. They absolutely love going in there every single day. It's hard not to tell them, like, hey, we're not practicing in there because the girls have a game today. So then they get bummed out. But they just had to, you know, listen to them talk to each other like, man, look at this, all this stuff. All this stuff is ours. And that was pretty cool to hear. I'm reminded of a quote. The opening ceremony we did have, when we had all the district representatives, the board members, and some city council members there. And we got our own Demetri Simon was able to speak. I'm reminded of a quote he said when he said, it's hard not to play like a champion in here when it's a facility built for champions. And that's kind of resonated with me since he spoke those words about a week and a half ago.
You got to make a banner, or you got to paint that on the gym somewhere, man. That's inspiring. That's really cool. Got a couple minutes here. What do you guys have to do to make it to Selland? Like, this team's got a lot of potential. Looks like Sanger West might be one of the top seeds as well. You guys have split with them, correct? Right. Like, what do you think this team needs to do to make it to Selland this year?
These guys just need to continue to do what they've been doing for the last 4 years. When they run and they play defense and they play within each other, they play well as a group, it's hard for teams to beat us. Mm-hmm. When that ball moves, yeah, and we're turning teams over and we're scoring off defense is when we're at our best. When we get slowed down is kind of when trouble starts to arise for us. So when we're able to get out and run, things work really well for us. So that's what we need to focus on, really, is just making sure we play defense and get the ball out as fast as possible and making sure we're flying around the court.
You guys do that. I've witnessed firsthand, man. These guys absolutely get after it. All right, Mitchell, I got to ask you a football question. We've got a couple minutes before the show's over. You have a football family, right?
I do.
Right? Brother Andre, NFL guy. And Dante, watched him play at Clovis West and then at Portland State. You got any thoughts about the big game? I can't say that other word. We might get fined on the radio station. It's kind of weird. But you got any thoughts on the big game on Sunday, or are you just kind of removed from it?
No, I'm excited for it for other reasons. I mean, it's family gatherings and stuff like that. I'm excited for another reason, too. So also today – Andre will be announcing his retirement. I'm sorry if I broke that a little too soon, but he'll be announcing his retirement from playing in the NFL this year. It's been amazing and crazy and a whirlwind all at the same time, watching someone I'm related to take the field Sunday in front of millions of people. So I'm happy for him that he's got to live out and accomplish his dreams. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And it's funny. He was on the show a couple years ago. I know he's a big supporter of U.S. Automatic game. I think the Emmanuel game last year as well. Who is your team, your NFL team?
The kids ask me all the time. So growing up, we were all 49er fans.
Yeah.
And so they ask me all the time, Coach, what's your favorite team? What's your favorite team? I said, whatever team has a sachet on it.
I like it. All right. Hey, good stuff. Thanks for coming in a pinch. I texted you late last night. You're like, yep, Paul, I could be their first string sport. So, hey, I'm a fan of yours, fan of your program as well. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
You bet. All right, that is a wrap. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks to First String Sports. Thank you to Tom Mott, who came on the show. Thanks to Trevor Horn as well. Thanks to Jorge for producing the show. Good job by him. Thank you guys for listening again. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.